What a joy to be here, and especially what a joy to be here with Rob as one of your pastors, your lead pastor. Yeah, it's good to be with Dave and Lynn. We've had them in our home a number of times, and but also many, I've just seen other people that have been in Burundi with us, and the invitation to come to Congo is there. Please feel free, Sheila, anytime you're ready. And many others, Brad and Kelly. Yep. Okay. Dave and Lynn, anybody else. But yeah, it's a real joy to be here. I want to bring you greetings from my wife, Mary Ann. She wishes she could be here. And my son, Boss. I appreciate the testimony from the brother from Regina. But I knew there had to be another story to it, because you don't look like someone from Regina. But that's okay. But I have a 9-year-old son who now is up to here already. And he's from Congo, and he is a real joy, but I bring greetings from them. We have 15 grandkids and a 9-year-old, so pray for me. It's a real challenge, I'll tell you. The grandkids are enough, but the 9-year-old is just like them, so it's good. I also bring greetings. Some of you would know Chrissy Chapman. I want to bring greetings from her. From Pastor Reuben, who has been with me the last couple of days. Actually, he's been with me the last couple of weeks, but he's speaking at Gateway this morning. He's the one that I work with in Congo, in Eastern Congo. I bring greetings from the many children that we have the privilege of working with. Those in the King School, those in the crib homes, those in New Hope Center, Shalom Center, Emmanuel Center, and those that we just touch, lives that we touch in Congo. But we also just don't want to bring greetings. I want to say a big thank you to you as Calvary Chapel. You have been very instrumental in our lives over these past years. I still remember the time when Andrew and the Team Canada, we called them, first came to Burundi. And, the fruitfulness, and then the teams that Dave brought from, what was it called? Was it King's Commission or something like?
Life Course.
Okay, yeah. And, but the deposit that they made with those kids, now they've grown and they're big, but they're walking with God. And a lot of the influence has been what this family has sown into that, those children, into that nation, into the hope for those nations. So thank you so much. You know, we're talking about, I wanted to share a little bit about growth today, and it's exciting that Rob was talking about. I didn't know you were going to share anything about the building, but I too heard from him that Sobeys was buying Safeway, and hey, that's a great building. talk about multi-purpose, right? I mean, you could have businesses, you could have everything operating out of there, but not saying the Lord's saying that, but if it sits, that's great. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for the powerful testimonies this morning. Lord, I feel in some way I've been fed already just by hearing what has been shared from their hearts and their experience. Lord, I thank you for the thread that speaks of our trust in you and how you are faithful and you ever are there to answer when we call. Father, we just want to commit this time in your word. We say, bless your word unto our hearts, Lord, and glorify your name this morning. And we ask that in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. If you could turn in your Bibles with me, I want to read a couple of scriptures. First of all, Rob said that I could preach like I do in Africa. So anybody got lunch plans? No, don't worry. I'll be through in time. But if you could turn, first of all, to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple of passages, a couple of verses out of there, and then we'll be going to 2 Peter chapter 1. Luke chapter 2, and just a couple of verses. We want to, verse 40 to begin with. It says, the child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And if we go over to verse 51, after that. And he went down with them. This is Jesus came to Nazareth and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And if we can just go over to 2 Peter, we just want to read in 2 Peter chapter 1. Quite a few verses here, but if you could just read with me. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's one of my most favorite verses. Man. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious promise, precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours, and underline this, and are increasing, they render you neither useless. Thank you, Lord. They not render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. You know, we in the West are preoccupied with this issue of growth. Security, if you want security in your life, it's usually measured by the amount of money you have or whether it is growing in value. We even have contests to see who has the biggest muscles. Come on, everybody flex. Come on, this is interactive preaching. Okay, oh, some of you guys are stoked. I mean, you are pumped. That's great. We even have whole festivals, and I know even in farm country particularly, whole festivals that are dedicated to the growth of various vegetables and livestock. And in one location that I know of, they have a whole weekend that is dedicated to who's got the biggest pumpkin. That's what occupies this whole weekend. I mean, maybe it's TJ's farm or something I got. I don't know. And it was interesting, you know, even the record apparently is up around 550 kilograms, by the way, if you're interesting. See, but growth is big business. In every area, it seems, but spiritual growth. But you know, God is interested in growth. When God wants to make that very pumpkin we've just been talking about, no matter how big it is to become, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks, I understand. And you know the whole math thing, when they want to build an oak tree, it takes about 30 years. But when he's wanting to make a man or a woman after his own heart, he's prepared to take a whole lifetime. He's in no hurry when it comes to the growth of his children. His principal work that God has in our lives is that we would be mature and we would become mature and become mature into men and women of Christ-like character and conduct in this world. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Just one more scripture I just want to read. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 to 13. And we know this is a very familiar passage. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And we could even go on in verse 15 and 16. It says about speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up. Everybody say, grow up.
Grow up.
Turn to your neighbor and say, grow up. I dare you. It is about growth. But it says that we would grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. One of my favorite scriptures is out of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 where it talks about that we become children of God in the midst of this world that's all going sideways, so that we become shining like stars in the world. You know, all of this is all about growth. There's a balance that God is after in our lives. You know, we have this balance between destiny and what we're to become and maturing or nurturing. And these things have to be in balance. When we are seeking nurturing all the time, we simply get fat. But not only that, we also risk remaining like a child, dependent on everyone else to keep feeding us and to keep caring for us. You know, this is one of the biggest issues in Africa, that we are trying to, in the influence in some way, and Dave and Lynn in Rwanda as they're working, just that whole thing, to get their, change their mindset, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, to get to the point where they become mature and they don't need that nurturing all the time and so dependent on it. But also if we're so preoccupied with destiny and what we're to become and our calling and our future, we can become short-tempered and we can become so obsessed with our own achievements. But God wants a balance in this. He wants a balance between that whole thing of feeding us and nurturing us and caring for us, but also that other balance, what you're to become, who you are, what your destiny is, what your calling is. One writer put it this way, and I loved it. He says, his desire is that we, in fact, are weaned from his breast, and that we would come to lean on his chest. And I thought that just that perfect is a perfect picture of what God is after in our lives. In reality, his desire is that we'd become not like the prodigal, whose only desire was, Father, give me the portion of my inheritance. In other words, feed me. Father, feed me with what you've got. But rather we come to the place of saying, Father, make me. Make me into whatever pleases you. Give me is nurture. Make me is our destiny. Can you say that with me? Give me is nurturing. Make me is our destiny. And where do you want to stay? In nurture or destiny? I hope you can say destiny. It said of John the Baptist that the child grew and became strong in the spirit. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. But notice with John the Baptist, his growth was primarily a spiritual growth. You can grow all you want physically. You can grow all you want financially. You can grow all you want in any other area. But no growth is complete if it leaves out spiritual development or growth. A man with his spirit set right before God is far more going for him than all the men with all the muscles and all the stuff that they can do. God is after it. But if you take a guy, a woman or a man who is physically fit and is infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got one formidable package that who knows what they can do. God knows what they can do. Far beyond what you can imagine or think. Because it's according to the power that's resident inside of you. John had to grow, it says, until his showing forth unto Israel. Paul needed to grow for close to 14 years before the Lord brought him in to apostolic ministry. You know, he could have been in that place, well, I want it now. But he went into that place and look at the result of their lives. Joseph had to grow for close to 13 years before God raised him up and exalted him in Egypt. Moses had to grow on the backside of the desert for 40 years before leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and into their destiny and into their history. David was growing for a long time before God brought him out publicly to slay Goliath and then he ultimately lead a nation. He was anointed. Remember, Samuel had already anointed him, but he had to grow until he was ready. And so often for us, particularly as young Christians, we get filled with God and we get baptized in the Holy Spirit and we say, I just want to be loose. I just want to do my thing. Don't hold me back. It's either that or else, would you come on, make a place for me. Make a way for me. And they don't realize that the growth is so desperately and so crucially important in our lives. And Jesus himself was the best example of patient growth during the unnoticed years from the age of 12 to the age of 30. Nothing. What was God doing? And this was God, but he was also man. He was growing him. He was preparing him. Luke writes that Jesus grew. This is Jesus. But even he had to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, I sometimes can't get my head around that. This is the Son of God. But he still had to humble himself as a man. And he had to go through the same process you and I have to go through. He grew in wisdom and stature, mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, four areas of life that God wants us and desperately wants us to grow in and become healthy. To have experienced that area of balanced growth in our lives. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. In which one of these areas are you today the most underdeveloped? Just do a self-evaluation. Mentally, physically, socially. Maybe you've got problems socially. You need to grow in that area. Or spiritually. It doesn't matter what area it is. God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. And I want to give you a little formula this morning that a friend of mine gave to me many years ago. One in which it might just be possible for you to assess where you are in your spiritual growth. But before we do it, can I just read that passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 again? But I want to read it with a little bit different translation, if you could listen for a moment. And we're going to begin at verse 5 in this. It says, "For this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue." I want you to listen to those words. Exercising, develop. Exercising, develop. To develop virtue or excellence. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours, and I love this, and increasingly abounding in you, and they're not being idle or unfruitful, be all the more eager to make sure to strengthen and make steadfast. And thus you will be richly and abundantly provided for your entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Exercise, develop. What area is it today? What area is it for you as a church where you know there needs to be a change? There needs to be a exercising. Maybe it's faith for a bigger building or moving out in some evangelistic outreach or whatever it is. But God is going to keep on challenging you because His desire is for you to grow individually, corporately, family, every which way. He is into growing things. So I wanted to look at seven things, and you can write them down. Number one, and it's a continuum, if you will. It's like a circle. Now, I don't know if many of you have ever heard these things, but if you have, then are you practicing them? But let's make the first statement. Healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. You know, I'm you talk about Father's Day. I mean, one of the joys, you can say, how's boss doing? Oh, well, golly, he's up to here and he's doing this and he's doing that and he's growing in this. We as fathers like to talk about the growth of our kids. If you ask me about how are the kids doing at college, well, they're growing in their faith and they're healthy and they're growing. Healthy things will grow. It's one of the biggest challenges we have in our children's homes right now. You know, it was fine when we rescued all these babies or when we got these small children out of the massacre and different things. And, you know, they were little and, you know, we could give them a little bit of porridge and some milk and everything. But now they're much bigger. They've grown. They've become healthy. And the problem is they keep growing. And with the one of the tribes that we work with, they just keep growing and growing and growing. And it seems like their appetites keep growing and growing and growing. And it's one of the challenges. But healthy things will grow. If you want to be healthy, you are going to grow. And this fact is true with many things, whether it be people, whether it be plants, whether it be businesses, whether it be marriages, whether it be churches, whether it be investments. If it is healthy, it will grow. So, if something isn't growing, what does that tell you? It's not very healthy. So this might be right where we have to start. But healthy things grow. You know, one of my son boss's first words, in fact, after mama and papa, the third word that he could say was up. Everything was up. Whether he wanted to be picked up, whether he wanted to be lifted up, whether he wanted to get up in his chair, whatever it was always up. Up, 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 he would say. And I pray that my son never loses that desire in his heart. I mean, isn't it interesting that for a child, up is always an operative word in their vocabulary. But when we, you know, they grow up, you know, even we said, hey, grow up. Okay. Or wait up. Hurry up. That's more what my grandkids and my son is telling me now. I'm trying to run. Come on, Grandpa, hurry up. Hurry up. Climb up. Sit up. And yet when we're older, The operative word is always down. Slow down. Sit down. Lay down. Quieten down. Get down. Maybe we need to get back to being children. Maybe we need something in our lives that compels us to say, no, I want to go up. Pressing forward to what lies ahead, to the upward call of in Christ. Up. Everybody say up. You know, in Africa, this is what we do. We get you to repeat things. The word is up. Nobody used the word down anymore. Okay? How are you feeling? You're not down. I'm feeling up. This is exactly what our brother... Manny, right? Okay, what was Manny saying this morning? Up. He says, I can make a choice. I can go to work down, or I can go to work up. And isn't it interesting when we have the attitude of up, what it does to those around us? Healthy things grow up, up, up. One of my favorite scriptures, and I just quoted a little bit, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own, but one thing I do. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Up. So what's the first thing? Healthy. You have to say it with me. Healthy things grow. And you're going to remember this and you're going to be telling everybody. Okay. Healthy things grow. Now, number two. Growing things change. Is that not true? Yeah. Growing things change. This is how we can measure, in one sense, if things or we are growing. There should be a difference than when we last saw them. Now, the last time you probably saw me, I was slimmer. Okay? So there's a difference. I'm still growing. Unfortunately, instead of going up, I'm going out. But that's okay. But see, there should be a difference to when we last saw them. One of the problems here is that we like... How many like things the way they are? Okay, we got one honest person here. And we get comfortable with the status quo. But you know something? There's a saying that I love. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. If you're not willing to change, if you're not willing... You know, we sing that song, and I don't know... Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my... You know, we ask for change, but then change comes. And it's not always comfortable. But healthy things grow, and growing things change. If you're going to grow, you're going to change. You have no choice. Now, here's the problem. Number three, changing things challenge us. Changing things challenge us. Mark Twain, an American author, he wrote, "The only person that likes change is a wet or dirty baby." We don't really like change very much. Basically, we like things to remain as they are and to remain like as we like them. Is that not true even in a church? Someone comes in and does something a little bit. Yeah, but why? I always sat here. I remember going into a church one time and I sat down. The usher put me there and this lady walked by me and she goes, and I knew I was in the wrong place because she had always sat in the same chair. Or you do the same things all the time. Well, we always start our worship this way. I mean, we always have prayer this way. We always change challenges us. We're creatures of habit and we're creatures of comfort. If it works, then don't fix it. That's our attitude. Well, if it works, maybe it does need to be fixed. Even if it does work, you need to change it. But it may not be the right thing or the right time. And that's some of the wrestling that we have to go through. But when change happens, it presents a great challenge. And the greater the change, the greater the challenge. Can you say that with me? The greater the change, the greater the challenge. You cannot get away from it. But again, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Well, that's okay. I'm happy to stay there. We may have that heart and that attitude, but God doesn't. See, the only person who doesn't change is Him. We were praying with Dave, glory to glory. Actually, the word in the language in the Greek is glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. It just keeps, it's a continuum. God is after change, but changing things challenge us. And this is a challenge for us, particularly in these days in the Congo. The country is growing. And the only formula for us to grow is to grow healthy. And it's going to present challenge. Change is inevitable in that nation. We've got, as I said before, about the children's homes, but it's not just that. As peace begins to come, and it is coming, there's going to be massive change. Because people have gotten so used to doing things a certain way, you come to the border and you open your wallet. That's the only way you're going to get anything done. But not anymore. And you know that in Rwanda. They are ruthless there in corruption and everything. Something has to change. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. But we sang about number four. Challenging things and times force us to trust God. You say, I want to grow in my faith. You want to know how you're going to grow in your faith? A change is going to come. Or a challenge is going to come. Challenging things and times force us to trust God. I mean, what's the other option? What's the option to trusting God? If healthy things grow, growing things change, changing things challenge us, challenging things force us to trust God. The only other option is to quit. That's it. You only have two options in this life. And it's not really an option. We don't have an option to quit. Challenge requires us to trust God, especially when we're faced with something that seems to be more than we can handle. Can anybody say amen? Amen. When we are challenged to face something that we know is more than we can handle, we are tested. And our response usually is this: oh no! I am being tested. And it's hard. And this is testing me. Remember, a test is not a test until it's a test. Come on. A test is not a test until it's a test. If you're not tested, it's not a test. If it's not challenging you, it's not a test. It's a walk in the park. God knows, listen, God knows our limits. God knows everything about us because He knows you. He designed us. He made us. He created us. He knows every single thing about us. He knows exactly where to apply the pressure to cause us to turn to Him in faith. You say, oh, this is hard. Yeah. Because He's pushing something. He said, okay, we'll just put a little bit there. I can't do it. What do you have to do? Trust God. Turn to Him. What's the first thing we say? Oh, God. That's a good prayer. We turn to Him. Remember, a test is not a test until it forces you to turn to God in simple trust and faith. You know, this. Let me just read a couple of scriptures. What we sang about this morning, that was powerful. Psalm 32:10, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. I love that verse. Whoever trusts, this is what another translation, whoever trusts and relies and confidently leans on the Lord shall be surrounded, completely encompassed about with His love and mercy and goodness and peace. That is a whole lot of stuff. Romans 9:33 says, the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Whoever trusts in the Lord will never be embarrassed by what He has done, nor disappointed in His expectations. Let's turn one more. Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 5. This is the verse that God gave me when I gave my heart to Christ. It's the verse I sent back to my folks. I don't know how to explain it, but here it is. Lean on, trust, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and recognize and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight your paths. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. Challenging things force us to trust God. Now, number five, we're almost done. Trust leads to obedience. Trust leads to obedience. There's an old hymn. I know some of you would know it. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. I'm off key, I know, but that's okay. You got the, yeah. Okay, some brothers really got, he's into it now, you know. There's anointing coming here, I can see it. See, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. If we truly trust in Jesus, He will reveal His will to us and show us what to do. He will show us what to do. Trust leads to obedience, but then the only question becomes, will you obey? In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 and 26, we find the story of the wise and the foolish builders. And we are challenged with this statement in both of those verses. Whoever hears these words and puts them into practice, we are great hearers, but we're not efficient doers. And then the verse 26 says, he who hears this word and does not put them into practice. So there is a choice. They both heard. That's the wonderful thing about that story. Both of them heard. And one made a choice. Look, turn with me to James chapter 1. Just to emphasize this just a little bit. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, having not become, I love this, a forgetful hearer. How many are forgetful hearers? We say, oh yeah, I remember that. I have this even with my son, I have it with all my grandkids, but I have it with my son too. You know, he's very special, obviously. But I say, son, didn't we tell you to do something? He said, Papa, I'm sorry, I forgot. We become forgetful hearers. But we can't be that. It says, having not become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Just go like this with me. Forgetful hearer, effectual doer. We have a choice again. Forgetful hearer, effectual doer. This, but love, this is how it ends. If, having not become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Actually, what it says there is, in all that he does. Deuteronomy 6:3, be careful to obey, so that it will go well with you, and I love this, and that you may increase greatly. Growth. Healthy things grow. Come on. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. Challenging things force us to trust God. Trust leads to obedience. Now listen, obedience makes us healthy. Obedience makes us healthy. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, refreshment, quietness, and health for your souls. It says, for my yoke is easy. It's another, you know, the Amplified says, comfortable, pleasant, and gracious. And my burden is light. When we obey the Lord, His joy floods our souls. There's nothing like obeying God and then feeling that joy that comes when knowing, hey, I just done it. I've obeyed God. And He fills us. He says, if you take my yoke, you will find refreshment. You will find health. You will find quietness. You will find rest. He fills our soul. It floods us. His peace fills our heart. It fills our lives. Those who do God's will find their lives filled with blessing. And I don't want to say anything more about that. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. Challenging things force us to trust God. Trust leads to obedience. Obedience makes us healthy. Anybody guess what number 7 is? Healthy things grow. See, we never stop. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. Challenging things force us to trust God. Trust leads to obedience. Obedience leads to health. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. So what's the operative word here? If we're going to be healthy, we're going to be in a constant cycle of change and challenge and trust and obedience and health and change and growth. And it's going to keep on going. We're right back where we started. And this cycle, it's the cycle for every spiritual child of God. Every one of us will experience this. And the thing is, right now, everyone in this room is at one of those points. Maybe you're at that place of health. You know, you've been obedient. You become healthy. You're feeling good. You've got refreshment and everything. And you're growing. You're growing. But, oh, healthy things grow, but growing things change. But what we want to do, no, I just want to stay here for a while. But maybe you're in that place of change. And it's not very comfortable. Change is challenging. But challenge forces us to trust God. If you're stuck in that place, maybe it's the time to start trusting God. And to go back into His Word and say, Lord, what are You saying about this? Lord, I need Your help. You know, He says He is faithful to hear our cry and to call, when we call to Him. Call unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will bring you rest. As we started with, God is never in a hurry. His desire is for all of us to grow up in all things into Christ. So maybe you're growing up. If that's the stage you're at, growing up involves responsibility. If you're growing, it involves taking responsibility. And maybe when you're in this place of feeling, man, I'm growing, maybe it's time to volunteer. Say, hey, pastor, you know, God's really been doing something. What can I do to serve You? How can I be a blessing in this church? Can you give me something that will challenge me? He'll answer, I promise you. But change. Do we fight against change? I just don't want to change. I want to stay the way I am. Even though His very nature is to change us from glory to glory. If you don't want change, you'll never get glory. See, they're tied together. Change, glory. Change, glory. Change, glory. Or maybe you're in the place of challenge. Oh, no! Remember, a test is not a test until it's a test. And He'll never test you beyond what He knows you're capable. Our problem is we think we know better than God. Right? Trust. I mean, will He really show up? Is He really going to answer my prayer? Is He really going to step up? Or obedience. He says to go this way. And we say, oh yeah, but nobody else is. That's usually our excuse. When God is telling us to do something, we say, yeah, but I'm the only one. But maybe God has chosen you for a particular task and a particular anointing and a particular blessing that nobody else has been prepared for. And He's calling you to step out in a different way. Remember, every great man and woman of God had to go through the same process you and I are going through. Just take the time to read through the saints who have gone before us. The pillar, the mighty, mighty men, the mighty women of God. Every one of them will testify to this fact. Let me add one more thing before we close. Have I got 7 minutes, right? Okay. The fact is that the choice to follow Jesus is the choice to grow. Is a choice for a constant recurrence of one thing. Fear. Fear. The reality is, every day we need to make a choice, just like Peter, to step out of the boat, even if it's just a little bit. Every day. We talked about change, we talked about challenge, we talked about trust. And this is what Peter faced on that fateful night. Peter was faced with all of those things. Change and challenge and trust. and the greatest challenge he faced and we will face if we are to truly grow up into Christ is the challenge of fear. The disciples got into a boat. They faced the storm. They see someone coming to them walking on the water and they're afraid. And so what does Jesus say? Don't be afraid. Peter pulls up his trousers or whatever it was he was wearing. He girded up his loins. I never quite figured out what that was, but he girded up. Everybody, let's all try gird up our loins, right? But he girded up his loins and he asked permission to go overboard. But then he sees the wind. And he's afraid all over again. There was something that gripped him that says, if he's there, I'm going too. And he's about to make that step and he starts walking on water and then the fear captures him again. And he starts looking at the wind and looking at the waves and looking at all those things. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. Let me ask you a question. Do you think this is the last time Peter ever experienced fear? The reality is, when we come to this issue of change and challenge and growth, fear will never go away. Why? Because each time we want to grow, it will involve going into new territory and taking on new challenges. And it's going to be fear. And each time I do that, I'm going to experience fear again. It's like, who's ever experienced where you walk into a new, even school kids, you walk into the new class, first day of school. Hey, it's no different. It's just a classroom. It's just kids. But what stirs up in you? Fear. You walk into a new place. You walk into a new job. You come into a new city. You even enter into a new church. Perhaps that God has directed you that way. But there's that fear. I wonder what it's going to be like. Am I going to be able to do it? The fear will never go away. And each time we do something, each time we make the choice to grow and to change and to trust, we're going to experience fear. The fear will never go away as long as you continue to grow. So I want to challenge you. When you sense fear, don't be afraid. It's part of your growth process. Now, isn't that good news? Fear and growth go together like beans and rice. Like, as Pastor Ruben would say, bugali and sombe. The decision to grow always involves a choice between risk and comfort. Now, what do we usually choose? Somebody's on it. Comfort. Thank you, Amanda. We do. I remember when she had to make a choice. That wasn't very comfortable. But she did, and God blessed her and blessed us for that year she was with us. The decision to grow always involves that choice. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, today you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value in your life. If all you're looking for is comfort, you will never grow. And I want to say that I believe God's saying this to you as a church. This is comfortable. Oh, it's wrestling, except you're in Sunday school. Those aren't very comfortable. But you can get comfort. You've got nice. I wish we had soft seats like this. They are fantastic. You have a choice to make. If it's the ultimate value in your life, you're going to miss growing. And many in the church today are desiring comfort associated with spirituality, but they don't want the risk and the challenge that actually goes along with following Jesus and growing. And there are times when we have to stand up. It's like who's going to follow me? And we have to make a fresh commitment every day. So Jesus, wherever you're going, I'm going. And it's going to involve challenge. It's going to involve change. It's going to involve fear. It's going to involve all of those things. Risk or comfort. You know, in our lives, each of these can grow into a habit. We all know that about comfort, but do you know that risk can grow into a habit? Each time we risk, and we, like Peter, get out of the boat, we become a little more likely to get out again the next time. And it's not that the fear goes away, but rather we get used to living with fear. I mean, that's where those of you that work in missions and go and you live with that. It's almost like an adrenaline. I'm scared to death when I go up in the mountains. The rebels are fighting and we get stopped by patrols and stuff like this. But I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. There's something about you get used to living with fear. And you begin to realize another thing. Fear does not have the power to destroy you. And we need to come to the place of realizing that as God calls us to step out of the boat, to step into new things, to be willing to change. Fear cannot destroy you. On the other hand, every time you resist that voice. Come on, Peter. Every time you resist that voice, every time you choose to stay in the boat, rather than heed the call, the voice gets a little bit quieter. And quieter. Until eventually, guess what? You don't hear the voice at all anymore. God, I don't want to be in that place. I may have fear. I may have trepidation. I say, oh no, I know what I'm in for now. But I would rather live there than not hear the voice calling me. See, whether Peter sank in the water or walked on it depended on whether he focused on the storm and the challenge or whether he focused on Jesus. He sank. You know, that's the one thing. Peter sank. We fail. We fail. But he understood something, his dependence on faith much more deeply than if he had never stepped out of the boat at all. It was his willingness to risk failure that helped Peter to grow. Because Peter put himself in the position to fail. He put himself in the position to fail. But he also put himself in the position to grow and pray for the sick. And preach on the day of Pentecost. And speak to the lame person. And defy the Sanhedrin. And when they whipped them and sent them out, what did they do? They went from house to house and preached all the more boldly. See, failure does not shape you. But the way you respond to failure does shape you. Let me just close with a story, and again, something you've probably already heard. You all know who Edmund Hillary is. First man that ever scaled Mount Everest. And he said this after making several unsuccessful attempts to scale Mount Everest. And he looked up at the mountain and he shook his fist at the mountain. And here's what he said. These are his words. I will defeat you yet. Because you're as big as you're ever going to be. And I'm still growing. And every time he climbed, he failed. And every time he failed, he learned. And every time he learned, he grew. And he tried again. And one day, he did not fail. And here's my challenge to you this morning as we close. I'll turn it over to Rob. Are you ready to grow? I believe as a church, you are at a precipice. I don't mean a precipice that you're going to fall over. Maybe a better word would be a turning point. And I know we can say, you know, you got the challenge of building it, but I believe it's something more than that. That God is going to challenge you because He wants you to grow. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Changing things challenge us. Challenging things force us to trust God. Trust leads to obedience. Obedience leads to health. And healthy things grow. And whatever you're called to face, remember, as Edmund Hillary said, it's as big as it's ever going to be. But we're still growing. May God bless you.